You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
And we're taking a look at the economic outlook for South Africa, as well as the performance, I suppose, of the South African economy over the last little year. I'm joined on the line by Christy Viljoen, who is an economist at PwC, to take a look at this and try and unpack this. Good evening, Christy. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start by reflecting on the year that was 2023. How did we close out the year? What were some of the good highlights from an economic perspective, albeit there might not have been that many?
Well, I think it was difficult to find good news in 2023. Probably easier to find better news in 2024 so far, because last year economic growth was slow, load shedding was up, we had challenges with logistics and transport, etc., etc. I'd rather say that if we look at 2024 so far, we can look at things like slower inflation, the prospect of interest rates coming down. We've had a month now without load shedding. So maybe last year, once we reflect on that, it wasn't that great. Honestly, it wasn't. But this year is actually looking better so far. And if you look at economic growth forecasts, inflation forecasts, all those key numbers, then this year is actually so far looking better than it was last year. So we should maybe not look too much backwards and rather go forwards.
Let's do that. Let's look at the first quarter of 2024 and now where we sit sort of at the end of the quarter coming into the second quarter. Did we see a stronger start? I know I had a conversation with Skulk Lowe a little earlier on around the performance of the JSE, and that didn't do so well in the first half or the first quarter of the year. But I imagine from a production point of view and an economic point of view, that might have been a bit of a different picture. But at the same time, the economic outlook at the moment, I mean, we're only growing at 0.1%. That's not really growth, is it?
Yes, let's be honest. We're looking at economic growth that is well below our population growth rate, and it's also well below what we need to reduce the unemployment rate. That's always one of the big things we talk about. How fast does this economy need to grow? Probably about 2.5 to 3% before we can turn around unemployment. But for now, as I said, let's hang on to the good news. We've seen less load shedding. We know it's not going to last forever, but that's something good. We are seeing some improvement in the port systems. We're seeing some improvement when it comes to consumer prices. We're also seeing some improvement in the salaries people are getting paid. So the consumer, I think, is a little bit better off than they were, let's say, 6 or 12 months ago. And for the economy in general, that's important. We are a consumer-driven economy. About 60% of our economy is driven by what households spend. So it is something that maybe we can focus on a better narrative. We are heading now towards May. We are in the second quarter. We will soon get GDP data for the first quarter of the year. So hopefully those numbers look a little bit better, because that impacts again on business confidence and consumer confidence, which then in turn determines spending, investment, savings, etc., etc.
Speaking of business confidence, Christy, last year we did quite a bit in foreign direct investment. What is the current view of South Africa Inc. and the South African picture from an outsider's point of view? I mean, you and I live the situation, the listeners live the situation on an everyday basis, but external investors and foreign direct investors look at the South African picture a little differently. How are they seeing South Africa as an investment case at the moment, and how significant is it for us to get in that sort of investment?
We published a report this week that basically looked at that question, and actually the good news around it, foreign investors are still very much interested in our country. We are still seeing a large amount of foreign investment inflows every year. We've seen a net positive inflow since the global financial crisis. And last year, we actually almost got 100 billion rand investment from abroad. Now, what that basically says is that there is still confidence in our economy. There's still confidence in the companies that we have. And there's confidence in the future, even if you look really over the long term, because these investments look ahead 10, 20 years, it means that there are people that have a positive view on our country. Now, as South Africans, it's easy for us to have a pessimistic view because we live here. We see the headlines every day. When you go to a braai, everybody complains about lots of things. But when you look at, for example, global rankings of where we are in terms of our business environment, public governance, those things, we're sort of in the middle of the table. Now, average is not amazing. You never want to aim for average. But I think many South Africans have the perspective that we are doing much worse. And these foreign investors are coming to us and saying, we're actually not that bad for many reasons. I mean, we've got a great financial system, world-class finance, insurance, great technology. We've got universities that develop and create people that go on to find amazing new companies and startups. We do have a lot to offer the world, and people are seeing this from abroad. I guess it's maybe a bit of a wake-up call for South Africans to maybe also try and see a little bit of the good in between all the bad headlines that we do find.
Christy, let's look for that good. How do we restart the economy? You said something earlier that 2.5 to 3% growth is needed for us to significantly start to make a dent in that unemployment figure. How do we get the economy restarted to the point where we can see 2.5 to 3 to even 4% growth? Because the reality is the South African economy has the potential to do that.
We certainly have the potential. We've got the people, we've got the resources, the minerals in the ground, the minerals on top of the ground, all of those things that could make us a fast-growing emerging market. But our challenges are well-known and not easy to solve. One of them is electricity. As I said, load shedding, we've hadn't had it for a month. It's going to come back at some stage. Winter is on its way. Another big one is let's call it logistics in general. So we're talking about railway, road transport, the ports, the harbors. Those are the big things that we need to solve. And I think if I need to aim for a third element, it's probably the question about crime and security. If we can solve those things, which are all humanly possible, if we can solve those, we can get an economy that's growing much faster and that's creating a million jobs a year. And once we get past that point, then we can see that unemployment is coming down, and that's going to be the way that we reduce poverty, reduce inequality, and solve a lot of our social ills. So to be very honest, all of our challenges are humanly solvable, but none of them are quick or easy or cheap. Otherwise, I guess we would have solved them already. But those are the big elements that are holding us back from our potential, where we could be going.
Christy, when we look at where we could be going, what does the scenario planning look like from an economist's point of view beyond May? I know we're going into an election month. I know it's very difficult to predict beyond that with all of the variables that come with an election. But what does the outlook look like from PwC's perspective and from an economist's perspective to say the rest of the year could potentially pan out in these scenarios?
Well, I think whenever countries go to elections, there is an element of uncertainty. Yes, it varies greatly from one country to the next. So there will be a lot of companies right now that are saying, let's hold off on big decisions until the election is done. That's very understandable. You will see it in you'll see it in the USA, where the elections are still far away for them. It's only November, but lots of companies are sitting and waiting to see what happens. So there is this element of uncertainty. And then once the election is done, companies need to quickly assess what the new, let's call it new paradigm looks like. Is it different from where we were before? Is it different from how the policies looked before? And how do we adjust to these? And there's no way of knowing exactly what's happening. We just don't know. So that calls for different scenarios. You need to say to yourself, these are maybe 3, 4, 5 different outcomes that could come from the election. What does that mean for my business? And how do we respond? So it asks of companies to be prepared and to sort of have different plans in place so that when one of them materializes, you already have a sort of a first step in the right direction. That's the kind of thinking and talking that company leaders need to have at the moment. We've got 4 weeks left before the election. It means that companies need to be ready for day one after those results come out. What can their possible plans be, and what are the variations of those plans?
Christy, when we look at the international picture one last time, how much of a factor is the grey listing component? We know we're trying to get off that list by January of 2025, hard at work around that. Your thoughts around that from the work that is being done or that needs to be done in that respect, and how that could potentially impact economic growth?
I think we've got a lot of clever people working on that challenge. We have for the past 2 years had lots of people, lots of government and private sector effort going into it. I've got faith that we will get that sorted out by beginning of next year. Once that's out the way, to be honest, it's not going to have a massive impact on, for example, the Rand or the stock exchange and so on, but it's going to make it easier for individual companies to do business abroad. It's going to make it easier for us to export and import, and it's going to make it easier and more attractive for us to get foreign investment in. Once you're off that list And once you've sort of got that, I know it's called the gray list, but it's really it's a red or a very much a red mark on your name. Once that's removed, you re-enter the list of possible investment destinations, whether it's direct investment, portfolio investment, whichever that might be. So it does shine a little bit of light on 2025. But as you said, we've still got a long way to go before this year ends, before we can really seriously talk about what's next year on the agenda.
Definitely lots to consider, lots to work towards, but it does all mean that it's not all doom and gloom, and it does mean that if we all work in a concerted manner, we can certainly turn things around and have a very different looking South Africa. Thanks so much for those insights, Christy. That's Christy Viljoen, senior economist at PwC, joining me to reflect on the economic outlook from PwC's perspective of South Africa.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.